Knock, knock. Okay. Morning. As we think about worship this morning, we come to God in our first song, The Potter's Hand. We're going to sing it twice. Is based on Psalm 84 and it is responsive. How lovely is your dwelling place, O my soul.
How long indeed it pains for the courts of the Lord.
My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God.
Even his sparrow finds a home and his swallow a nest for herself.
Where she may lay her young before you, O Lord of hosts.
Happy are those who live in your house, ever singing your praise.
For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere, and I will praise you, and we will all praise God as we stand, as we sing together if we're able. Not to sing, but to stand. Praise to the Lord the Almighty, the King of creation.
Oh,
Please be seated. We come to our prayers of adoration. Again, these are responses on making your work today. Let's come to God in prayer. We come, O God, agreeing with the psalmist that it is good to be in the company of one another, worshipping you. Expressed in the Psalms, we also acknowledge that there are those who come weighed down with burdens of one kind or another. Yet we can still praise you
in the knowledge that those who seek you are found by you.
We praise you for enabling us to go not only from strength to strength, but from weakness to strength. Strength experienced through being fed and nourished with Jesus' life and the Spirit.
We rejoice at this time of worship in the presence of thousands of activities as we worship you, O God, aware of Jesus' life-giving presence around us and within us. Amen.
Let us pass the peace. May the peace of the Lord be with you. Please stand and pass the peace in your normal life. Peace be with you. Also with you. Peace be with you.
Welcome to everyone here today. It's lovely to see you. It's lovely to welcome back Wendy and Rob. Safely. Don't forget either that next Sunday is the 1st of September, which means the end of our trial of winter worship at 9:30. You have to set the alarm a bit earlier and be here by 9 next week, just so you get into the way of it before our new minister comes a month later. Can't have him turning up and nobody else. Okay, the prayer points are in the notices and they're important, but we do have some other people to remember as well. Molly Millis has been moved into 4A from the ward that she was in, which is palliative care and oncology, and her family are up there each day, but not at the moment through the night, as far as I know from information last night. Now, we also have a couple of exhibitions coming up that people from here are involved in, and a lot of others usually like to go. First of all, on Friday, the Ikebana exhibition opens up, and I presume Wendy hasn't been actually running it this year, but certainly it's always a wonderful one to see. So pick up a little leaflet here, or just go yourselves up at the Mount Coosa Gardens there. It's always a really beautiful occasion. And then Wana is asking us to think about that they have the watercolour exhibition. So two beautiful early spring activities for you there, which is very good. The only other thing I'd like to ask you is, Courtney and I are trying to get the new prayer directory ready. It would be nice for the new minister to have one with everybody's information up to date, and we'll be able to have a brand new one instead of the ones that are all crossed out with people's phone numbers changing and things like that. Do let us know if your phone number has changed or your email address. Send it to Courtney or to me, and then we can make sure that it's quite fairly accurate, given that sometimes things change very quickly. Don't forget to change your alarm next week. Thank you.
Thank you. Yesterday I went to Presbytery. It was on Saturday morning. And you would receive at the door as you came in the information that came out of Presbytery. There was a review. Glenn Schweitzer, our Presbytery Minister, has reached his five-year, his halfway mark of his placement. He's in placement for 10 years. And he asked if the Presbytery would do a review of his work. So if there was any points he needed to look at, they would be visible to him. And the Presbytery received that review with acclamation of Glenn's work yesterday. The good news out of the church plant that's about to happen at Ripley is that we have purchased one house already, with two under contract. We're looking at buying three houses altogether as a presbytery. And the idea then being that we will put families into those houses who have the gifts and graces to reach out into the community and between the three families hopefully build a faith community at Ripley. And that's the start of a church. This is seen as a better way of starting a church than actually to build a building, and the old thing of build it and they will come doesn't work. So that's in the pipeline at the moment, and that's good news. Until they find the families, they will be renting the houses at normal rent, $600-$700 a week. But when they find the families, they'll halve that. And so the families will get cheap rent, but then be expected to reach out into the community as well. So that's the church plant that's happening. We heard about day camp, where they went from 35 kids last year to 47 this year, and they're working towards 75 next year. I should mention, if you know of any young families who have a heart for reaching out to people, put them in touch with the presbytery office if they're thinking of moving. It's actually a shift for 3 years, at least. In Ribilly Hub, I'll let you read that one. We heard about Uniting Care, and I'll let you read that one from yourselves. The other interesting one was that there's the church, all of the church leaders have got together and approached the government over a Respect at Work bill that's about to be put to Parliament, and with some amendments that they thought would be good for it. And unfortunately, the Premier and the Attorney General have refused to meet with the heads of church. Very seldom all the heads of church actually agree on one thing, so this is fairly important stuff. So there's information in there and a contact. What we were asked to do was to contact our local member, because although the heads of government may not listen to the heads of the church, the local members will listen to people walking in or ringing them and saying, why aren't you talking about this? This is an important, Respect at Work is an important thing. We also heard about some free disaster recovery chaplaincy, where you can become a chaplain to work in an area, some stuff to help people with that. So that you receive as you can, please have a read of the whole thing in depth. And I guess I have one question to ask, besides where did my iPad go? What time are we starting worship next week?
9:00.
9:00? Did you say 9:00? Okay, rightio. That's good. Just want to check that everyone was on the same page. So if you come late, the doors will be locked. Or there'll be a fine. We'll see what happens. Let's listen to God's word as it's read from Ephesians.
This is Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 20. The whole armour of God. One of us is going to have to move.
I'll bring it down.
Oh, okay, thank you. Finally, build up your strength in union with the Lord and by means of his mighty power. Put on all the armour that God gives you so that you'll be able to stand up against the devil's evil tricks. For we're not fighting against human beings, but against the wicked spiritual forces in the heavenly world. The rulers, authorities, and cosmic powers of this dark age. So put on God's armour now. When the evil day comes, you'll be able to resist the enemy's attacks, and after fighting to the end, you'll still hold your ground. So stand ready with truth as a belt tied around your waist, with your righteousness as your breastplate, and as your shoes, the readiness to announce the good news of peace. At all times, carry faith as a shield, for with it you'll be able to put out all the burning arrows shot by the evil one. And accept salvation as a helmet, and the word of God as a sword which the Spirit gives you. Do all this in prayer, asking for God's help.
Pray on every occasion as the Spirit leads. For this reason, keep alert and never give up. Pray always for all God's people. And also pray for me, that God will give me a message when I'm ready to speak, so that I may speak boldly and make known the gospel secret. For the sake of this gospel, I am an ambassador, though now I'm in prison. Pray in speaking about the gospel as I should. That's the end of the first reading. There will be another one further on.
Let's have our next hymn, Stand Up for Jesus. And these are responsive. We confess, O God, our involvement with evil influences of our age, those influences which lower the standards of people's lives and which damage their ability to experience life shaped and filled with love, justice, and mercy. Forgive us when we fail to stand against the evils of wars and greed. People suffer today because their lives are dominated and restricted by people who exert ways in families, in society, in politics, and even the church structures. Forgive us when we fail to stand firm against evil and injustice. People suffer today when they believe that love has to be earned, or when they have come to believe that their value rests solely in terms of what they can produce or what they do. People suffer today when they are denied work or acceptance because of their race or appearance. Forgive us when we stand firm against the evils of racism and prejudice. Merciful God, strengthen us with the Holy Spirit that we may withstand both the spiritual and physical forces of evil which can influence us personally and as members of both this community of faith and the larger communities in which we live. This we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus said that he spoke words of spirit and life. So we pray. Spirit of life, grant us this day your forgiveness and love that we may stand firm in faith. Rejoice in the assurance that Jesus, our Lord and Saviour, hears us and forgives us.
Thanks be to God.
Remain seated as we continue our prayer as we give thanks. Remain seated. hear a gospel reading from John 6.
This is the second reading from John 6, verses 56 to 69. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood live in me, and I live in them. The living Father sent me, and because of him I live also. In the same way, whoever eats me will live because of me. This then is the bread that came down from heaven. It is not like the bread that your ancestors ate, but then later died. Those who live this bread will live forever. Jesus said that as he taught in the synagogue at Capernaum. The words of eternal life. Many of his followers heard this and said, "This teaching is too hard. Who can listen to it?" Without being told, Jesus knew that they were grumbling about this, and so he said to them, "Does this make you want to give up? Suppose then that you should see the Son of Man go back up to the place where he was before. What gives life is God's Spirit. Human power is of no use at all. The words I've spoken to you bring God's life-giving Spirit. Yet some of you do not believe." Jesus knew from the very beginning who were the ones that would not believe and which one would betray him. And he added, "This is the very reason I told you that no people can come to me unless the Father makes it possible for them to do so." Because of this, many of Jesus' followers turned back and would not go with him anymore. And so he asked the 12 disciples, "And you? Would you also like to leave?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words that give eternal life, and now we believe and know that you are the Holy One who has come from God." Thank God for it. Reading of his word. Perhaps I shouldn't say that, but anyway, thank you.
Not part of, well, part of the reading, but not part of the reading this morning. And I like to point this out when I hear Jesus speaking in the temple in Capernaum, or in the synagogue in Capernaum. Because if you stand in the synagogue in Capernaum, and you stand down the back, and you look up towards the front, synagogues are built with a big door at the back and a little door at the behind the back there for us. And Jesus stood there and he preached. And then, haven't checked, but on this occasion, another occasion, he actually goes out and very shortly after heals Peter's mother-in-law. The temple in Capernaum, just out the back door by about 20 metres, has a bathhouse, a steam room. Now, the Romans used to build their bathhouses about 2 to 3 foot off the ground, cement posts all around the place, and they would pump steam into that. The slaves would pump steam into it, and it would come up through the cracks in the floor, through the floor, and create a steam house. And in the steam house would be, it was not a pure place. So mostly naked, a lot of wrestling happening, also male prostitution. And in the ante room, or the little rooms around the outside, were curtains. You get the picture. Jesus, when he was in the temple preaching, knew it was there. But Jesus decided to go out the front door and go and heal Peter's mother-in-law. Rather than being critical or putting people down, he chose healing. And when I hear Jesus in the Capernaum, I always like to say to people, we need to choose healing over criticism. That's not part of the sermon, that's just a boy. Where am I? I'm here. Over the last few weeks, we've been talking about Jesus, taking Jesus in to ourselves. Taking Jesus in, letting Jesus take us over. And therefore becoming more like him in our actions. Now, we all know that if we hang around with someone long enough, we grow more like they are. Now, you might not believe this, but before I was married, I wasn't the tidiest person. But after 50 years, I have learnt to be tidy. The longer we hang around with someone, the more we become like them. A joke within our house is that my wife, and she knows I joke about it, so I'm not being nasty when I say this, is that when we have visitors coming, she gets up in the ceiling and vacuums the ceiling just to make sure it's clean. She knows that one. That's an old one. But we take on people's traits when we're with them for a long time, or they take on ours. Now, I don't think Jesus is going to take on my traits. Therefore, by reason, if I'm with Jesus for a long time, I start to take on his. So we need to be with Jesus to become more like him, to become a follower. Fair enough? But if that were easy, if that was all there was to it, we would all be saints. We'd all be sanctified, and some of you would be done several times over. But we're not. So we might ask the question, why not? If we're with Jesus all the time, why aren't we that close to being like him that we get sanctified? And I thought about this for a while, and I thought about the Ephesians reading. And I thought, it's just not about being on the outside. It's not what happens on the inside, is it? It's not about taking Jesus in, because we can do that. But in the Ephesians reading, we read that it's about putting on armour. About putting on the armour of Christ. And there's three reasons I thought about for putting on armour. The first one is to run really slowly. The second one is to look really good. I sort of crossed the end of the sermon. They're probably not relevant today. The third one is to protect yourself. You put on armour to protect yourself. So probably the third one is what we're talking about here. Jesus talked about putting on Ephesians, they wrote, peace, truth, the word of God, putting on that armour. So we have Jesus to cover us on the inside, and on the outside we have spiritual armour. And when we do that, we're ready for anything. Because things are going to come along that are going to have a go at us. That's life. And if we're strong on the inside, well, they'll pierce our skin, but they won't go too far in. If we have our armour on, then they don't even get in. So are we putting on our armour? There's one more thing. Do you believe? Do you believe? Or do you know? Because Peter says, I have come to believe and to know. So there must be a difference between the two. Between believing and knowing. So what's the difference? Well, I think we can believe something. I can believe that you are really good at pastoral care or chatting to people or boiling water. But until I actually see you do it, I don't know that you're good at it. That's, I guess, why They have exams in schools. Because every teacher believes that the children know what they've been taught. But until they have... believes that the children know the stuff. But until they actually have an exam and the child can write it down, the teacher doesn't know what the child knows. Knowing takes us past faith into a concrete yes. Knowing something takes us past faith. So if we know Christ, if we know something about Christ, it takes us past faith into a yes. We have it. And I'm not saying we shouldn't have faith. I'm not saying that at all. Faith is believing in what we cannot see, and that's important. But as we see the first bit of our faith become known, we can move to the next bit of our faith and know that, and so our known starts to grow and we become more mature in our faith because we're seeking our faith in bigger ways. Make sense? When I was a child, I had faith. I had faith in Jesus Christ. But as I grew up, I actually experienced Jesus in my life. And there's certain things now that I know that I can do, which I only had faith about before. I read about healing and said, oh, that sounds good. I have faith I could do that. It was only after I healed people that I knew I could do it. And now I do it with confidence. I heard about praying in the Spirit. Well, that sounds good. I believe I could do that. It was only after I did it and saw the results that I knew I could do it. And that moves you on to more and more outrageous things, doing more and more outrageous things for Christ. That's maturity in your faith. And faith to a faith grounded and a mature faith as we seek to do more and more things. That's taking Jesus in. And while we do that, we have need for the armour, because as things come up against us, they're things we're not experienced, and unless we can deflect them, then they will pierce us and take us back into the unknown. Now, I hear you saying, I'm a mature Christian. I was trying to work out a picture for a mature Christian. This is what I came up with. I have a faith which is solid. Nobody could challenge my faith. Great. Great. I'm really pleased for you. Do you get annoyed when people actually make a faith statement that doesn't line up with yours? I knew he's passed away now, a retired moderator, I think that's the term, from the Presbyterian Church, when it was the Presbyterian Church, who was worshipping in the congregation I was in his retirement. And you could say anything to him and he would smile. And he would say, well, I disagree with you, but let's talk about it. Challenging his faith was always greeted with a smile, because he had a really mature faith. He knew what his faith was. If things that people say to us annoy us or challenge our faith, then we need to keep that armour on to be safe. So over the last few weeks, we've been talking about taking Jesus in, consuming him in all we do. And while we do that, we need to keep our armour on, to keep Jesus with us. And then when we do that, we can say, as Peter said, I have come to believe, and I have come to know that you, O Lord, are the Holy One of God. Praise be to God. Amen. Let's sing our response to God's word. O Jesus, I have promised.
Session as we pray for others and take time to centre ourselves and think of others. We pray for a world that sees all people as vulnerable, that sees the human condition as basically good and kind. We pray that those in power seek to serve all their communities, to continue to support those in need, the unemployed, the underemployed, the elderly, those with disabilities, those who are alone, Indigenous youth, and the forgotten refugees in our country. Lord, we pray, we give thanks and pray for those in our church community who continue to bring us our weekly service alongside the minister. We pray for our musicians, our technical volunteers, our prayer givers and our readers. Lord, we pray for our minister Ross. May he and his family be in our prayers. Lord, we pray for those in our congregation who are ill, who are frail, who are ageing. We pray that you walk alongside those in our congregation who need a little more assistance to live day to day. But we pray for those in the congregation who are struggling with health issues and can no longer worship here at Kenmore Uniting Church. We give thanks for the ministry undertaken by Dawn to ensure members remain connected to us. We thank the JNC for assisting in finding a minister who has answered the call we made. The induction of Reverend David Savage will be held on Saturday, October 5th. The right person was out there. We pray that David's closure in his current ministry is joyful. I also thank you for bringing us safely back from our travels. It is great to be home. Travelling in the outback, we saw many, many businesses struggling. Small communities with shop after shop closed down. Towns that offer very little hope for the younger generation. Poverty was very evident. We pray for organisations such as Frontier Services, the Royal Flying Doctor Service and Farm Angels who continue to contribute to Australia's regional economies, food security and the social well-being of rural communities. Finally, Lord, before we join together in prayer, we ask that the Holy Spirit inspire us to be a people of peace, a people of faith, a people of love, and a people of hope as we continue on life's journey with you. As we pray, I ask each member of the congregation to reflect on the words of our Lord's Prayer, a prayer of adoration, confession, of thanksgiving, a prayer for others, and a prayer for ourselves. Our Father in heaven,
hallowed be your name.
Your kingdom come on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us in the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
As we bring our tithes and our love offerings to God, we sing our offering song, Touch the Earth Lightly. Gracious God, hold us firm through the power of your Spirit, and in Jesus you make us clear that you withhold nothing from us. You offer us strength to withstand all that threatens to weaken our faith and our witness. Bless these gifts and our lives, which we offer in response to your great gifts to us. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We sing our final hymn today, Your Hand, O God, Has Guided. Strength of God upholding you, the love of Jesus Christ steadying you, and the power of the Holy Spirit encircling you. May the feet of God walk with you.
Thank you.
love and serve the Lord.
Amen.